Hi everyone, welcome back to the Scottish Paranormal Podcast. I'm your host Chris, and here we delve into the multitude of strange occurrences that happen within Scotland and beyond. You can contact us with your accounts at the Scottish Paranormal Podcast at gmail.com. You can find us on all social media channels, and you can contact us by either means. If you want to help the show grow, please like, subscribe and share. Wherever you pick up the content, this could be via audio or via YouTube. We'll get right into it now, and we'll welcome our next guest into the show. These stories are still out there.
Yeah,
still there, and that was new to me. I'd never heard that story before. And the reason I kind of started the podcast is to try and get more people coming forward and more stories, rather than talking about the older stories, although you get some stories coming off of them and own stories, and you maybe get other people coming on with different things. My main kind of passion is trying to get more people with the local stuff to see if we could see what you're doing yourself, trying to just put some pieces of the jigsaw together if you can.
You know, Chris, and I know, and I'm sure people in chat have got, some of them are sat on accounts that are more interesting and more exciting than what you're going to tell us and what I could tell anybody about what I've got. And people choose to just sit on them, which is a shame. But it's your right to sit on them. But what you're going to share with us now is as good as it gets. And you're talking about sometimes the older stories just getting regurgitated and regurgitated. Yeah. Bob Taylor incident, which I know Malcolm's done a lot of work on. Malcolm Robinson, for those that don't know. Great guy. But It's historic, and it's been done and done and done, like Rendlesham.
Yeah.
This, what you're going to tell us, is just incredible. You know, that's the only word for it. I've not built it up too much, people, and then we've just got...
seen a light in the sky, that's it. So this was... Actually, the story came to me in November last year. But a bit of background before that, I was doing a short video at a kind of local sighting up in one of the kind of back roads in West Lothian. And so I was standing on the kind of dry stain dike or wall, if you want to know it, and I was just holding the GoPro camera and just taking a short video a recent sighting that taken place. So a car had passed once, and then it came back again, and a guy jumped out of the car, and he said to me, can I ask what you're doing? So I was going to make some up and just say I'm just taking pictures of landscape or whatever, but I just told him what I was doing. I mean, I basically just said, right, I'm a podcaster investigating kind of local kind of UFO story. It's just kind of happened or whatever, and explained a wee bit about it. And then and he said, all right, okay, that's fine. He said, look, if you want to go in the field, more than welcome, just kind of jump the fence, whatever, it's no problem at all, you know what I mean? So that's fine. And he jumped in his car and he went to drive away, and he stopped and he jumped back out again. He said, look, can I get your number off you? And I said, yeah, no problem. So I gave him a number, and he said, it's no me, it's my friend has seen something in the last number of years. And I goes, what was it? He goes, oh, it's mad. He goes, just, I'll take your number. So got his... gave him a number and stuff like that. Never heard of him for a few weeks. And then I got a call. Got a call of a gentleman, basically told me he was the person that I was that contacted. I mean, his friend said, I got your number. And he kind of started to tell him a bit about the story. But then he goes, look, I need to talk to you. I need to kind of show you and talk to you. And he was kind of shaking up a bit, but I think it was obviously took a bit for him to actually share the story as well with somebody unknown, as well as just his friend or whatever. So he said, can I talk to you now? And, you know, having a busy lifestyle and stuff, I've got kids that are doing football clubs, rugby clubs and all that kind of stuff. I couldn't just drop it a hat and go when he wanted me, I had stuff on. And I said, look, I really can't. I can't now, but if you, I'm working away next week, if you give me a, if you basically give me a shout on Friday, we can maybe meet up and we can go from there. Because this was like basically the start of the week or something. And I said, if you get me on Friday, I'm working away. We could arrange maybe meeting the weekend or something like that. So I said, fine. So that week kind of went. I got to Friday and I was going to call the guy. And my phone factory reset, right? I had something at my work I didn't update. Tried to update it. It said it worked. It's never happened before. I'm not saying this is part of the case, but it's just strange. It happened, synchronistic. That it happened. My phone factory reset. And I lost all the new numbers I just put into it over the last few months. So I didn't have the guy's number. So I didn't know how to contact him. But then I remembered that he had left a message originally for me to phone him back. So when he phoned, he left a message and I phoned him and then we kind of got talking. So I thought, right, I've got his number in my phone somewhere. So I kind of thought, what I'm going to do is I'll go in there, get the number, and I'll be able to get contact with him again and stuff like that. And I was busy at work and stuff, so I didn't do it then then at that minute. So it was funny, it was about a week after, or maybe 2 weeks after or something. So it actually took me a week to remember I actually had his number in there somewhere through my messages. So you know, I'll need to do that, dig through it, and find this guy. So I was up Cairn Park, I was up with the dog. I like going up there. It's an old kind of Neolithic kind of burial mounds and stuff like that. It's a henge, actually, right? So I got up there, walked the dog up there. And I was thinking about it. I was thinking about the story, a bit of the story he told me in the car, and I was thinking about the guy, and I thought, I need to get in contact with this guy. But you know what it's like? Life gets in the way sometimes. You try to do everything, so you can't do everything when you want to do it. So I thought, right, I need to make a point getting a hold of this guy, and we'll try and kind of catch up and stuff like that. And within an hour, the guy phoned me. I hadn't even got his number on, and he phoned me. So just funny, synchronistically, actually, thinking about him, and then the guy phones me, right? So we arranged to meet, and he was going to meet at a certain place first, but I said, look, it's quite open that, and it's quite a busy road. Do you want to meet kind of somewhere else? And he said, well, if you drive there, I'm in this type of car, just follow me, and then I'll take you and we can just park up somewhere. So this isn't far from where I stay. So it's in West Lothian, you know what I mean? It's no too far for here as the crow flies. So I jumped in my car, seen the guy, took me to this spot. For some reason, I knew where he was going. I mean, it's not as if I'd been there before, but I just know it was like a local bit you could probably park up. I don't know. That's probably why I knew where he was going, because it was just there. I'm not saying I was psychic or anything like that. It just basically was like, this guy's going to go there. And he went there, to this bit. So he parked up and proceeded to tell me the story. I mean, I knew a wee bit of the story because he told me a bit already, but I didn't know the whole detail and the workings yet. And I've shared that with you, Paul. That means I can trust you, obviously, to go away or whatever else. But so when... The story was that it was August 2019. He walks his dogs on this basically a farm road, right? Old farm road. And so one night it was dark when he was walking. Basically walked along this road, and he said when he was walking along the road to start off with, the sheep in the adjacent field were gone nuts. Gone totally nuts. And he was worried in case like the farmer had thought it was maybe his dogs. His dogs are kind of running along the track. And he kind of thought, I'm worried in case the farmer thinks it's like my dog's causing this kind of commotion or whatever. And he could see two lights in longer grass further up. And he wondered what the lights were doing. He kind of thought there was two lights in the long grass to start off with. And he thought either somebody's shooting, hunting, or they're maybe up to looking for something or up to no good, basically. That's kind of his main kind of line of thought. He just thought somebody's up to something or they're actually hunting or something like that. But this was, I'm sure it was, at this point it was dark, it was probably somewhere like 10 or half 10, or maybe even around 11 at night at this point. It was quite late. And so he knew that there's two lights, and he didn't have the description of lights at this point, but in an adjacent field, way, way further up. So walked along the path. Walked along the path. And then he had a headlight on, a head torch, a couple of number of lights in it, prominent beam. And he said to me at the time, when I shine a torch at you, and he shined it at my face, and he said, sorry for shining at your face. He says, but you can't see who's behind it. And I said, aye. And he says, right. And he said, you know as well, when you beam a light, you can see it beaming, and it can shine some further away. He said, aye. He says, well, when I turned this corner on this track, and I could see further down the track, I could see the lights that were in the field originally had moved down there, and they were on just off the road. So the road basically to get a bit of kind of bit of landscape, farmers' fields, a bit of forestry on the left hand side, some other fields on the left hand side, and then it goes down a kind of bend, and there's an embankment, a large kind of embankment. It's a wee bit of kind of woodland and forestry there as well. So he was getting down to that embankment bit, but it's basically a lay-by type thing in the track. Before he got to that, he could see it for the bend in the road that he was. He was a good bit away from at this point. And he said, I could see two lights, which were the ones that had probably came across for the field, they crossed into that kind of forest or whatever, and then they were like at that embankment. He could see the kind of bend in the road, and he could see these two lights. So he's still thinking, hunting. Somebody stealing something, somebody up to no good,
yeah,
or something like that. You know what I mean, and he said the sheep were going nuts as well in the fields. So what he said was, he goes, the two lights, he goes, they were like a square. The way he described it, he said they were like, they weren't beaming a light, they were creating light, but no beaming a light. And he said, if you can imagine an exit sign, right? So if you can imagine an exit sign where it's opaque, and it's not like you can't really see the internal light here, right? So it was two square lights as well, he said. It was like an exit light, two exit lights, but further away. That's kind of what he said. So he said they were moving about at that embankment bit, and he said when he shone his light in it, he was coming more towards it at this point. Maybe at this point, it might have been 100, 150 metres away from it. He said the light stopped in their tracks. So you can imagine you've got a road going down, or a track going down, a lay-by, and then off the lay-by, there's an embankment that goes up with trees and forestry or woodland, and these things were just in that embankment. And he said, they stopped dead when I put my light on it. And I couldn't see what was behind them. And he said, so I had to walk past them. And he said, I wondered what they could be in regards to if it's somebody local, I'll probably know them if they're up to no good or whatever. So that was his kind of mindset. And then so he got done so far. The lights never went off. They never moved away. They stayed where they were. So he made a point, and when he was coming down closer to it, shouting on his dogs. So whoever was there knew he was away someday.
Were the sheep still really vocal at this point?
Yeah. He said that, and he was worried the fact, as I mentioned earlier on, that the farmer was going to think if the farmer came out and he was there on the track with his dogs, he'd get the blame for it. So walking down, these lights were in the embankment. They weren't far from him at this point. So I've been there, right? And they must have been there. At this point, we had to walk past them. They would have probably been like 15, 20 metres from him, right? He said he couldn't see past them, but he shouted and he couldn't see behind them. What was behind them? He could see these two lights. So he shouted in his dogs or talked to his dogs, whatever, so they would think he was either way somebody else or at least have something with him. So he was still on the track, kind of just past the lay-by, and he kind of thought, I'm not getting jumped here. You know what I mean? I don't know what's going to happen here, so I'm going to head back.
He's just feeling nervous.
Yeah, totally. He kind of got a bit nervous because they kind of thought, it's a bit uneasy. These lights have just stopped. There's nobody saying nothing, doing anything, whatever. He can't see what's happening. It's quite dark, and he kind of thinks, like, am I going to get jumped, or is there whatever these people are up to? Are they going to try and get me or something?
So roughly, Chris, what age is he?
I'd say he's quite an elderly gentleman, put it that way. You know what I mean? Yeah. Elderly gentleman, put it that way. And so he goes by this lay-by, And he kind of thought, I'm going to come back. So he walked back the way, right? Shouts to the dogs. The dogs, if you can imagine, on that you've got the track, right? You've got a track, you've got a lay-by. The dogs go right to one side of the track, furthest away they can from the lights. And they walk up the other side of the road or the path or the right. track, right? They walk up that as far away from the lights as they can. They don't skirt the other side. They go away over that side and they walk away up. And he said it was strange. He goes, because they were in the middle of the road further up and they walked up and they went that way. And then they went back. So if you imagine, they kind of, they're going up and then they cut across and then they kind of go up like that and then they come back again in the middle of the road. So they're kind of ahead. He kind of walks up and he's bamboozled what these lights are, what they are, they start off with. So he gets up far and he gets up to the bit where he originally seen the lights coming down the embankment and the bit of bend. So he kind of just goes around a wee slight bend, but you can't, where you can't see the right line of sight to that bit. So he gets out to the right line of sight, the lights basically, yeah. right? And he then tells his dogs to go back to the car because the dogs are really obedient. They'll yeah. go back and they'll sit at the car, right? So
just before you move on, and I don't want to break your train of thought here, but right. pack animal, three dogs, they didn't growl then as a perceived threat. Did he say that they growled or anything?
No, not at all. He said they usually go by his side, one of them, but they'll at that point, they wanted to get away from that area.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So the dogs went back.
They went past, and then the way back past that lay-by, they went as far as away from that lay-by as possible.
Right.
And then just for the distance of the lay-by, and then went back in the middle of the road again and then walked, right? Mm. And he said he found that really, really odd. And he got to that bit where he was out of line of sight of the lights, and he told his dogs, he's like, hey, go back to the car. And the kind of dogs are work, they go back and they're waiting them, right? So they ran back. He turned his light off, and he sneaked back to find out what these people were up to, right? Because he's seen the lights moving about in the field originally when he was walking towards this area, and then he's seen them when he kind of got further up, and they were in this small bit of woodland walking down this embankment or whatever. So he wanted to see what was there. So he sneaked up, and there was like a small bush or a tree at the side of the road. So he sneaked up behind that. And what he seen totally astounded him. And I mean, I've heard the guy's story. He was emotional with it, not to the point of crying, but he was emotional to the point where it was like a bit of fear mixed with anger. Mixed way, I'd probably say anger for the fact that it's probably had a bit of paradigm shift for him in regards to what he's seen after this, and a bit of anxiety. You know what I mean? The guy hadn't been back at this location for the time, basically, since it happened. He said one time he did come down with a few pints and he asked his friend to take him down there, but he hadn't been back since that time. So it really, really struck some fear into him. And you could tell with emotion in the guy's voice and stuff like that. I mean, I believed every word he said because you could just tell from what the way he was telling it. So he sneaked up and he was behind a bush or a small tree. And he looked to it. And what he seen two beings standing, right? Two beings standing, one larger than the other one. He said the smallest one was, say, roughly about 4 foot-ish. And the other one was a bit bigger, slightly bigger. And he said initially and I'd ask him questions during that, because I was trying to get a description of this thing he seen. He told me a bit about the story, and he was like, no, I never seen it then. So, and I'll get to a wee bit of that story, if it'll make sense. Yeah. So he seen these two beings standing, and the lay-by's there. And at this point, they were actually out the embankment, through the fence, because the fence was all kind of like down, and they were standing next to the lay-by, so just at the side of the lay-by, and he's hiding behind the bush.
He's looking back at the lay-by.
He's just at the side there. He's at a bush at the back of the lay-by, and these things are illuminated with these lights as well and stuff like that. Had these type of lights with them or whatever it was, and there was two beings. He said they were description of them were like skinny. You know what I mean? It was like Casey. They were wearing like black. Big head, thin neck, really thin neck. You said no massive big eyes, you said, but maybe about two or three times the size of others, like the black eyes. But no, like what you would think that, I mean, what people portray, kind of like greys, they have these big massive eyes. It goes, they were big, but they weren't like massively big. Okay. A lot bigger than others. And he said that he was never seen the one at the back until the very end. He said, I've seen the one at the front. And he said, so black with white, and the way he described, because I was asking him questions during when I was interviewing him, and he was just straight answers. You know what I mean? And, yeah. I said to him, what colour was the skin? And he said, silver birch. That was his first answer, silver birch. The same as like the tree, silver birch, the colour.
The back of the tree, yeah, yeah.
Silver birch. And so obviously you're related to things that you know and things like that. So he said that they had, he was talking about their feet, and he was like,
feet and fingers. I remember you noting
feet
that.
And fingers. So he said, normal size feet in proportion to their body, right? And hands, but their fingers were, and their toes were long, like really, really long. And he said they would constantly move when they weren't do. If they're going to do something, they stop. The hands stop. But when they weren't doing anything, and they were moving about, their hands, their fingers were moving about. I don't know if that's just because of the length of them. But yeah. He said fingers and toes. When he was talking about the feet, and he motioned the size, and I said, but it was like big, and he goes, no. The feet were normal size. He goes, it was the toes. You can see the toes were longer. And the reason how he actually seen all this. So, because this was like, he didn't see all this at this moment. I mean, he's seen bits when they were doing certain things.
And then he's pieced it together. Because you're saying they've got black outfit on or black clothing, maybe. I don't know. But obviously, that's the bare feet. They must be, are they?
Yes, that was it, like bare feet. Because it was, he said, because of the toes. Because they were really long. And the reason he's seen that was, so the one at the back motioned to the smaller one at the front to do something. And in his head, he basically said, like, the one motion, they probably basically said, we need to get out of here because somebody's just passed or whatever, right? So he's just obviously, like, thinking that. So the big one motions to the smaller one. The smaller one proceeds to pull something and this pull it back, and this craft appears. He said, I don't know what to pull back, if it was like some type of sheet, some type of whatever it was. It was like then this craft appeared. Because they told me a wee bit about it to start off with on the phone. And I said, when I was talking about it, I was like, so what did it look like? He goes, no, I never seen it then. And I was asking him, and he goes, no, I've still never seen it. And he said, this is what happened. And he said, and they pulled this thing over and this craft appeared. It was just sitting there. He goes, I could have touched it. Because he was quite close to them. And he said, this thing was there. He said, it looked squarish from the back, but no square down the way. If you looked at it straight on, it was kind of square at the back. And it was, he said it was a cherry kind of orangey colour. The way he described it was like maybe a browny orangey colour. But then he said, start off with browny orange, and he was kind of, when I was there, it was getting dark and stuff like that. And he was like, see that cloud there? And it was like really, really dark and orangey colour. Kind of like that, but darker. He said, like a, and he described that again as a cherry colour. And cherry's probably a good kind of colour, kind of like a browny, orangey colour. You know what I mean? That's kind of what he said. He said it was like that type of colour. And he said the surface, it was quite rippled and stuff like the way it was. It wasn't like really, really, really smooth.
Like plastic, like, or?
He said it was like, it was almost like, if you can imagine, carbon fibre or something like that. It still had to be sanded or what? I can't remember the way they say. Basically, said it looked like something. It didn't look like, it wasn't like totally polished, but it was a finished thing.
Yeah,
it just was the type of, the actual type.
But it's rippled.
No rippled. I mean, the way it was mainly, if you can imagine the surface yet, no actually seen ripples in it. But looking at it, it wasn't extremely smooth. It was like if you look at maybe, let's say you get a bit of carbon fiber. You look at that, for example, it doesn't look. If you looked at a bit, it wasn't actually all kind of thing he'd done, and then like had like a painting or something like that. It was, he said it was like a, some type of kind of ripple effect on it, right?
Right,
it was okay. Like I took it as it was matte, and it was like this on it, the way he was describing it, but it was that kind of color. And he So he was saying that with this thing, with the fingers, the feet, small mouth, basically the head, large head, and then the eyes, obviously. And this thing motioned, it pulled this thing, and this craft appeared. It was just there. It was almost like you say, this thing, whatever was over the top of it, it was like it made it invisible. You couldn't.
But they didn't. He didn't actually see what it, no. what this being pulled. He pulled something, and this thing appeared.
He pulled something. It was either like some type of sheet, or it was some type of device or something. He goes, but he moved something. He done something and moved this thing,
and it appeared.
And this thing appeared. He goes, I never seen it. When I walked past it to start off with, I never seen it was there. It was just the lay-by. And then when I walked back, it was just the lay-by. He goes, when I walked up, it was just the lay-by. And he said, but when this thing motioned and pulled this thing back, he goes, this thing was there, right? And he said the description of the thing can do it justice. He said it for the back and a bit for the side, but it was like, he said it was like, if you could imagine, the first time he described it, he said it was like the cross between a very large jet ski and a skidoo, right? Like one of the, and then he changed it. He said, more like, it was, but the thing is that you sit on top of them, because it wasn't like that. He said it was more like, if you can imagine, like a dodgem, where it's like it's got an indent in it, right? He's not saying it looks like a dodger, right? But he said to describe it with the indent in it. So if you can imagine, it was quite high up. So the way he described it was maybe about a metre and a half off the ground, right? And a metre and a half off the ground, it was roughly about maybe about a metre and a half wide or a metre wide, right? A metre and a half wide, I'd probably say, right? A metre and a half wide. And it was smooth, rounded. They square edges and it totally rounded, and it was he presumed it was rounded at the front because it went far, right?
He couldn't see it a bit,
but he basically said it was like it was all kind of rounded and going further. But the way he described that, it was basically, it was like this indent was in it, and it was basically two bits for these things to sit, right? So the small one got in to start off with and sat in. And you can imagine this thing, it was a long kind of thing, about a metre and a half wide, metre and a half high. And this small one gets in first, the larger one gets in, and he said he could see its foot. He goes, it stood on this side rail, and he could see, that's what he's seen, a good look at its foot, it stood on this side rail. And then it got in the thing. And he was still kind of hiding behind this bush. And he was thinking, he was there that long. He was there like again a good number of minutes, and he was thinking he'd try to take a picture, but he kind of thought, who's going to even believe me? And it was pitch black as well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then when he said that, well, he was, the thing was starting to move, right?
And when he thought, what happened when he had
the thought? When he had the thought of taking a picture, he said, oh, who's going to believe me anyway? The thing was starting to move, right? And as it was starting to move, The one in the back turned round and looked at him. And he said, when it looked at me, it was wearing something else. It goes, it had something on its, it was like between its head and its body. He said it kind of looked like a, if you could imagine the shape of a shield. He said it had something like that, and it was looking out for whatever it was. And it was imagine the shape of a shield covering its like body for here, down onto its pelvis area. It didn't really see that. He goes, the way it spun out and looked out, I had this thing, and he could see it looking through something at him. And he said when that was happening, the craft, the thing in the front must have been guiding the craft or whatever. And he said the thing came up like inches off the ground and moved out to the side onto this track, road track, and then went along the road roughly about I'd say probably maybe about like 50 metres somewhere, 50, 70 metres, went along, and then it started to take off. And it said it got to a point at the height of the trees, and it stopped, and it started to come down. And he kind of thought, they're coming back for me because the thing's seen me, right? And they're going to come back. But then he heard in his head, it was like, he said he heard this in his head. It said, nobody believe me anyway. That's what he heard in his head, or like to that effect anyway.
Yeah.
And then he said it changed colour. He said it changed colour to a kind of yellowy-green colour. And I said at the bottom, it goes, no, the whole thing. He said the whole thing changed colour. It changed colour to a yellow-green thing, and then it shot off. after that. And then he basically ran back to the car and stuff like that. You know what I mean? It's like, I mean, if you heard the story through the guy, which I've relayed to yourself, you know what I mean?
You have, can
understand. And it's...
It's incredible. It really is. And I hope people in chat have found it as interesting as what you've... How you've just relayed it, Chris, because it's incredible. It's kind of thing that everybody interested in subject probably wishes they could see, because he's come back relatively unscathed apart from turning his mind inside out, because it's a full flip of what he probably believed were possible or were impossible, really, Chris.
Totally.
Did he say has it changed his perception of what reality is?
Totally. I mean, from that, he started seeing some other things, and I mean, it's just changed his total.
He's seen reality. Other things since that.
Yeah, he's seen lights and stuff like that, and things. You know what I mean? And there was somebody with him who'd seen something as well.
Mm.
And
there's definitely this intermind. Does he believe that something spoke into his mind when he stopped and started to come back?
Yeah, totally. That's what he thought. He definitely said it was like. He could hear it,
yeah,
in his head. You could definitely hear it.
That's so, you know, and there we go again. All similarities. The old lady at Willsthorpe walked into her porch, stepped out back into a living room, and midpoint, something said in her head, "Go back and have another look." Do you know? and it's just across the board, isn't it? I wonder if, obviously, we'll never know, but I wonder if they were aware that he were watching. Because I know that what you've not alluded to here is that, you know, you said the dogs, they veered off the road, kept away from it as tight as they could, then went back into the middle of the road. What we need to explain here, Chris, and I think I'm right, is that these are very remote areas, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're not going to have a lot of traffic, are you? I wouldn't have thought, are you?
The thing is, what I'd relate to you as well is I'd never came across a story where there was two beings sitting in a craft, which was kind of open top, right? And it was days later where I'd seen the Turkish UFO photos again. And I'd seen them in the past, right? I'd seen them in the past. And when I seen them, if you've seen the Turkish UFO picture.
You sent Les a picture. Yeah, he's just going to put that on.
Right? These are really, really prominent pictures, loads of them, right? That somebody had, like... When you actually see the original picture for what the guy sees, it's a dot in the sky and they zoomed right in. And there's numerous ones of these. There's ones on its side. And when there's a really, really good picture here where you can actually see two beings in the craft, really, really, really prominently, right? Sitting in that indent in the middle, right? And it must have been 2 days after or something like that. I've seen these pictures in the past years ago. And I've no dug into them, look into them or anything like that. And then it wasn't until, I'm not saying that is this.
No.
It was like, when I seen these pictures before, I used to actually think that's like some kind of disc in these things.
You're looking at the front of a side profile.
There's actually pictures of that and you see it on its end. And it's an elongated, long structure. And it's like, we're indent in it, like the guy described, with these two things in it. I kind of thought that's the only time I've seen something like that, story like that, where there's like being sitting in a craft which is open or they're in some type of indent and they're not actually enclosed in this. I mean, it's not as if they're looking at a window or anything. That was actually some type of thing they were sitting in.
Yeah. Well, you've just put a different perspective on that picture, really, you know. I mean, because I'd never thought of it like that, and I'm sure plenty of people in chat have seen these images, you know, because I think it kind of went viral years ago, didn't it? There's loads of them.
I mean, there's loads out there. And I'm not saying that I don't even know the whole validity of these. I've not looked into these too much, but
no,
I'm just using it as an example of, if these are real or whatever. It's the guy describes something like that. When you see these things, it's flat in the bottom, it's rounded with an indent in it, where these two things are sitting, and then it's got, and it's actually a long kind of craft. I mean, when you actually see all the other pictures, right, I'm sure there's one that sits on its end and you see it, and it's just like a kind of an end to it. Which it was, I'd seen these years ago, and that never even came to my mind when I heard the story. It wasn't until I was going through something on Twitter, and they came up again.
Has he done you any? Probably a big ask, but has he done any drawings of his perception of what we're seeing or anything?
He described the craft of what he's seen, from what I described, and he did say it was like rounded and curved, and it came out longer. It was like longer to sit in that lay-by.
Yeah.
Where index, I was asked about the size, was it longer than a car? And he said, well, can he slightly, but it was thinner and it had this indent in it. And he said, but I didn't really get a good look how to the side profile, but I could see it was curved. See it was curved, but it was more, his was drawn more to the indent, because he said, if you can imagine where you get this thing high up and it's got an indent with these things were sitting, it was like, almost like a dodgem seat. When you look at a dodgem, but they were sitting, I'm sure he said they were sitting like one behind the other, rather than side by side at a dodgem, but he was using the dodgem analogy just because, like, when you look at a dodgem for the side, it's kind of high at the back, and it's got that indent of people sitting and stuff like that. But this thing, he just used that as a slight analogy, but this thing was a lot higher up, a lot longer, and it had this indent with these things kind of went into it. But I mean, there's
some more images, It's incredible.
There's a really prominent one of that when there's like you can actually see the two kind of beans in it. But I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying it's the same thing. I'm just saying it was awfully uncanny for the description. He hadn't seen these before. He'd never ever seen any of these before. But it was uncanny actually in regards to it just kind of popped up on my feed, and I was like, that's kind of what this guy's like.
Obviously still staying with this story, but jumping from it, going back a little bit, just winding back to the sheep. Have you thought of contacting any at farms to see whether they lost any livestock?
Well, I've not yet. No, I haven't done that yet. No, I mean, so
you might draw a blank, and they might not even want to speak to you. But it would be interesting to find out. I mean, you just might. Mm-hmm. What year was it? What were we talking?
2019.
It'd be interesting if this guy. Local farmer said, actually, we lost three sheep. We know that we can never say, well, that's the reason, but it just adds a little bit more intrigue to what this guy's saying.
I mean, there's a thing as well, and it was like, trying to look back the messages. You asked about the drawing. He did draw the shield type thing. He did draw the shield type thing. He drew that. And it was like, we'll say it's a shield, but it was a shield shape.
Yeah. That's the analogy he gave for it.
It was black and it had like a red kind of emblem on it, and they drew the emblem and stuff like that. It was like a kind of line with two kind of lines coming off, but I could see its eyes through this type of thing. I don't know what that was, but interesting story. You know what I mean?
It is interesting, and I hope people in chat are just going, yeah, well done. Give them a round of applause for that, because thank you for sharing it. Because I bet that's the first time you've relayed
it. It's the first time it's been relayed.
Thank you, and we know what Les is here for, and it's not to buy us a drink. So,
we're waiting for Chris to buy the drinks.
Have we got any questions, Les?
Yeah, and a great account is that, Chris, and you must have feel quite privileged to have got that from the witness.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, was, and I mean that's the same as well. When like it's no a story that obviously the person wanted to shared as in regard to his voice or anything like that, or he wanted to be anonymous or whatever. But for that as well, obviously, I'll let you guys listen to the recording. You know what I mean? But obviously, that's where it'll stay. And you can understand the validity of it and stuff like that. But apart from that, I won't go anywhere else and I'll be anonymous. You know,
I really appreciate it. And like you said, it don't go no further. You know, actually what you've relayed today is where it stays. It's you know, hopefully you might get a little bit more information in time.
Well, that's the thing I was going to say in regards to, there's another kind of thing that happened, and I've still to dig into it, where there was a sighting not too far from there as well. And it's one I've not went to see yet, and it was just a sighting, but it was like somebody walking their dog again, and there was...
Do we have some info on this, Chris? I'm only butting in, because if he's got some questions, we can jump to this after questions.
Yeah, on you go.
That would be brilliant, Chris.
And
he's got some, if Les has got some questions.
We've got some great questions in from people in the chat tonight, and thanks for those, and thanks, Jessica, for sending those through. Jess. And not a question, but I'll put you might have seen this earlier. Chris. I'll put that on the screen. You probably saw that earlier, but we'll flash that up again.
Cheers, Rob.
There you go. So compliment all around from Rob there. And wanna get to, let's have a look. A bit of self-promotion for Paul on this one. Silverware has just watched Wolflands. It was excellent, Paul.
Ah, thank you. Thank you. We try in. You know, I said to Les, and this is Chris's podcast, so I don't want to dwell on this, but I did say to Les other week, I said, you know, I can see where we could have improved that. I can see where, but no reflection on Les, by the way, myself included. But yeah, I think for most part we managed to pull it off. It took us long enough, though, people, didn't it? I thought it were going to be done in 12 months. It took us 3 years. So onwards and upwards. Thanks, Silver. Thank you.
And what I'm going to do on this occasion is just to try and keep the flow of the account going. I'm just going to start from the bottom of the questions and work back up if I can. It's going to work this way, because everything now later on in the questions relates to the account that you just retold us, Chris. So well, I haven't pre-read this one, but I'll put it on the screen. Martin Abbas, did Chris ask him if it looked like the pictures that I think the pictures that we've just put up there, identify the beans that he saw and see if they are the same?
I did send him them. He's not reported back on that.
Yeah.
I did say have a look at that. In fact, I didn't see the picture, but I sent him the link to basically go in and have a look at the Turkish kind of UFO.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the pictures of the Turkish UFO, they're hard to actually see the beans in it. There is a good picture where you see the two beans, where it's like you see the two beans in it, you can see eyes and things like that. But I mean, it's not a close up picture. So try to get the comparison between it. But I was more interested in it did seem more like the craft type thing that he described. It might have not been exact, but it did seem that way, you know what I mean? But I did send him and was wanting a bit of feedback on that. But I mean, in regards to it, it's, as I said, the ones where, I mean, the ones in the Turkish one are like, they're actually a good bit away. I mean, it's like a right zoom lens in, zooms right in. But this guy was literally like meters from them.
Yeah, that's something we didn't ask. How many meters do you think he were from this thing?
He basically said he was like touching distance for this craft.
Oh my God.
It was like literally, the way he said it was like literally two meters for a being, 3 meters, something like that.
Okay, I'll put this one up, 1423. Any theories on why these experiences occur in very remote areas rather than a city centre?
I don't know. I mean, they probably do happen in city centres as well, but I mean, there's one thing, I don't know what the reason is, but I mean, we've had numerous sightings over the years, and as I said earlier on, if you take it out, the sightings within a year in one area, there's probably not a lot, but if you look at the one area over like 10, 15 years, you could probably see sightings. You look at 30 years, there's loads of sightings. And within, for example, West Lothian and surrounding areas, there's loads of sightings here. Don't know what I attribute that to. You know what I mean? I always kind of think of things where you get the Cairn Papal, you get the burial mounds and all that kind of stuff. I'm not saying it's that it causes it, but I mean, it's just that there's been sightings around about there. And I usually use that as a focal point because it's like the high points in the hill and it's a place where a henge has been there for 5,500 years. Don't know if that's anything to do with it. You know, I mean, there's an interesting thing I found out as well, where the not too far as well from the Andy Swan encounter, and it probably has nothing to do with anything, right? But there's a kind of prehistoric, was that Neolithic large stone in the middle of one of the fields, not too far from that as well. And I didn't even know it was there. It only actually somebody told me about it. It was only about 3 weeks ago. It's called the Boar Stone. It's a big, massive stone in a farmer's field. And they reckon that was like, it's basically some kind of Neolithic thing as well, whatever. They don't know how deep it goes, but it's a long, long, kind of big, massive boulder. And they reckon it's something anyway. You know what I mean? It's on one of the sites. I'm not sure. Most people that's anything to do with it. I don't know.
It's interesting, though, just before you go to the next question, Les, and a great question for Tim, but why do they happen in remote areas? Perhaps just for that very reason. If these things don't want to be seen, you're not likely to pick, like Chris says, probably these things do happen in suburbia, because I know me and Les have touched on some accounts that we've been filming people, but for the vast majority of instances, they're happening in remote areas. Well, if you don't want to be seen, and let's face it, we might consider ourselves a little bit more important than we actually are. So why would they have to be seen in a built-up area? You know, if you don't want to be seen, let's go somewhere remote and do what we've got to do. Unfortunately, this guy, he were there. Or fortunately or unfortunately, you know, but he were there. But, yeah, great question.
Nickname sounds almost retro. What year was this? 2019, you did
2019,
say?
No, too long ago. It was August 2019. And the man made a point, he's saying, walking towards where it happened. And he was kicking the leaves, because like, this was November when we were doing a lot of dry kind of leaves off the trees line. And he kicked them and he said, these weren't here. And the reason he brought that to my attention was the fact that when he was creeping back, there was no leaves there or foliage, they actually hear him. Know what I mean, as well. And that's one of the points he said. He goes, these weren't here. He goes, so you can, and then later alluded to the fact that they wouldn't be heard because there was no leaves there and stuff.
Just one more thing, Les, before you get a question. Don't go back to Fortean, but it just brought into my mind Fortean Times. Somebody who writes for Fortean Times did contact me probably 2 weeks ago. I've lost your contact information. So if you are listening to this, get back in touch with me, please, because it's literally just come back into Paul's tiny brain. So off we go, Les.
Okay, so a good question here from Terry Donnelly. Has there been any further communication? And B, was there any missing time? Great question.
I'd say yes, for the fact that from that incident, he had seen some other stuff in the sky and things like that. And I'd seen a number of different pictures and videos that he took. He said some of them do it justice for because it was on a phone. One interesting one I seen, there was like an interesting video he showed me, and it was quite interesting. I mean, so. But I mean, it's, you can understand the guy's no want publicity. He doesn't want to come forward with it as well. But he did one thing he said when he hadn't been back to the place, right? But he'd seen things since. And he actually said 2 nights before or the night before he was going to meet me, him and his friend, they're older gentlemen, remember. Right, they're not just like teenagers. I'm not saying they're not wrong with being a teenager, but they're older gentlemen. I mean, and they said they'd seen some type of blue flash in an orb. And he said that's something to do with why I'm going to, because I'm telling this story. And when I went back to when I was back in the car recording some of the info and getting the drawing and stuff like that, he said they know I'm telling you this. And I actually thought he was talking about his friends. I goes, are your friends? He goes, no, they. He goes, they. And I know it sounds like nuts saying that, but it was like, he feels like there's some connection in there.
It's a pathway back, in my opinion, it's a pathway back to whatever it is that's interacted, this intermind connection. Mm-hmm. And there's tons and tons of examples of it, Chris, as you know, people who've had nothing in their lives ever before, and they have something that's impacting and leaves a profound effect. And I don't know whether it's the minds that's open to the knowing. You don't believe in it anymore. You know.
Yeah.
And then it allows it to come through. I don't know what the process is, but yeah, I can quite believe it.
Okay. Next question I am going to read out. It might trigger things in YouTube. So I'll just shorten the screen, guys.
Fair enough. So I don't think they were, because we've asked that one, Joan.
I don't know. I've not looked or asked the question. So I'm not sure. It's quite recent, to be honest. I said like November time we kind of got it recorded and stuff like that. I've sat on it.
Well, I think you touched on it before, Chris. I mean, you've got an extremely busy job. You've got a family and life, and you're trying to fit this in as well. And it's not always easy, is it? So, but I'm sure these are avenues that you're going to pursue, you know.
Well, you know, the last time we spoke, I gave you a kind of brief kind of rundown. At the time when it happened, I gave you a brief rundown of it. I remember back in the day when it happened. I've just sat in it and no spoke about it, but we had a conversation about it. But it was, I kind of sat in it for up until now, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. As you can see, Nickname is asking a question. I was wondering, did the atmosphere change? How long did the encounter last? Thanks, Chris.
I mean, he, when he went, I mean, the walk, I've walked the walk. I mean, that sounds funny, I've walked the walk. But I've walked the walk as in regards to where he went, the distance he went to. So for the initial period, he seen the lights to that, to the walk to the bit, is maybe, you're maybe talking about a 15-minute walk. So you're maybe, for there, down and back in half an hour, I'm sure he said he was sitting there like 5 to 10 minutes behind this thing as well. So, yeah. I mean, if you add all that together, you're maybe looking about 30, 40 minutes or something like that to start to finish.
And it makes you wonder, Chris, doesn't it? If he perceives that they'd spoken to him in his mind, if they actually knew he were there all the time watching this, what does he think they were doing?
No, he didn't have done that. No got a clue.
Right, okay.
Interesting, though. I mean, I've not been in. See, the thing is, I've been to the place. I've been to the place, and I was taking a Geiger counter. I mean, to check like the readings where it was sitting.
Just reading your mind. I was just going to ask you that. Have you? Yeah.
And a slightly higher elevation, but nothing like worse than background or anything. But I've not went right into the bit where they were. And I was trying to have a, because I had the dog with me at the time, so I wasn't allowed to start jumping the fence with the dog.
No.
So I basically went and recorded like the readings and the Geiger count and stuff. And then I kind of went up further to see if it was up further on the track. I came back again, did readings again. And then, but I didn't go in where they were. And the funny thing he said, he goes, when he was there, he goes, that fence wasn't there before. Because right. the fence was like, it was like all kind of broken and down. Because when it was a brand new, just for that one section, yeah. Just for that one section of the lay-by, it's all brand new fence.
And I was just about to jump on that then. I say, we've got an older guy and he's within meters of this thing, or very close. Mm-hmm. How did he get over the fence? But you've just answered it. Thank you.
Well, you mean he wasn't over the fence. He was this, he was just off the track right behind the lay-by. The knee things were over the fence, right?
But the object extended, did it?
No, the object just sat there. So the object was like, imagine that thing just sitting there in the lay-by, but it was obviously hidden, whatever it was hidden. I mean, this thing, it was, he said it was almost like something was covering it and they pulled it off and then you could see it.
Right.
Okay. Like a sheet or something like that. But the fence, if you can imagine, the lay-by, the track's there, the lay-by is there, and then maybe you've got, like 3 meters, and then there's a fence, or 4 meters, then there's a fence, right? So that whole length of the lay-by, the fence at that point was all kind of broken.
Right, got
the
you.
Wires are right at the deck, but you could actually see it's for just the bit of the lay-by is all brand new fence.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. But I've not been into that bit, so I want to go in there and find it was in just that wee forestry bit and yeah, do some reading stuff in there.
Now we've got a question here then. Let's go on.
Yeah, 1423. Were there any sounds, unusual smells, or feeling of any change in air pressure at the time?
Well, he didn't allude to anything that there was. Didn't he say nothing about smells or anything like that? He didn't say anything like that. But I think initially when he went down there, he had an uneasy feeling. Because he could see these things, the lights there, and he had an easy feel. Well, saying that, he had an easy feeling actually that he thought it was like somebody up to no good. But he did say that. He goes, for some reason, I was looking over in the field and I was looking up at the pylon and stuff like that. And the interesting thing he said as well is that I usually go a set time to go there and I never done it. And then a partner said, you know, go on, and he didn't do it. And then he said him again and eventually went. And he said it was out of the normal time he would have went because it was darker. And it was probably been, he normally went like about an hour and a half or 2 hours before. And it was about lighter or whatever else. But because he put it off and put it off, which isn't like him, he kind of ended up done it late and then came across this. So, don't know if that means anything. You know what I mean? Neither that. It would just maybe couldn't be arsed that night. So, to go.
Okay, Rivington, Bike Beast.
Thanks again for listening, everyone. That's a wrap tonight, and don't forget to subscribe, share and like the content if you like it, that is, and also even leave a review. It helps with the algorithms, it helps us grow and brings more content to the show. Thanks again and catch you all soon.
Thank you.